As part of the Whole Person Recovery Program in West Kent, the RSA hosted a workshop and lecture with Professor Joanne Neal of Oxford Brookes. She is one of the authors of the book The Everyday Lives of Recovering Heroin Users, which was published and launched by the RSA. 40 men and women in various stages of recovery shared their experiences in extensive interviews, so this book provides seldom-heard accounts of the experience of recovery from heroin use through the voices of these 40 participants. Professor, you've done extensive research in the past in a similar area, so why did you choose this kind of approach to a study of recovery from heroin use in particular?
I'd say it's probably slightly different from the research I've done in the past, as in most of the research I've done in the past has focused on overdosing, dangerous things, bloodborne viruses, all the very negative issues to do with substance misuse. And this was an opportunity to focus on to conduct a piece of research that would look at the more everyday, mundane aspects of heroin users' lives. So the things that most research doesn't tend to look at, because it doesn't tend to actually present problems for services and for the community. But what we didn't know is how much of a problem did these issues present for heroin users themselves.
And you were working with doctors Sarah Nettleton and Lucy Pickering of the Universities of York and Glasgow, respectively. How did you come together to work on this project?
Sarah and I had been colleagues at the University of York, and Sarah is a sociologist with an interest in the everyday life and the body. And I was obviously interested in issues to do with heroin use. And we talked for quite a long time about how we might bring our research ideas together and came up with a project plan. And then it was in recruiting for the study, we recruited a researcher who just happened to be an anthropologist, which was Lucy. So that meant we had quite a nice team of a sociologist, an anthropologist, and myself with a social work and social policy background.
Was there anything that really took you by surprise when you were going through the interviews?
I suppose one of the interesting things was just how much they engaged with the topics that we were presenting to them. So they were talking quite freely and easily about subjects that I think most people would hesitate or balk at because they're not possibly socially acceptable topics. So they would talk about constipation and sex drive with quite an openness that was surprising. And to me indicated probably just how much that those issues were quite important to them, but nobody had really ever talked about them.
Yeah, absolutely. That is really the striking thing about the book, is that it is about these almost mundane aspects of life that you don't really think about, and that they are actually really important to recovery. And that's what we were finding today in the workshop. It was about people's stories. And what do you think are the most important aids to recovery in terms of the research that came out of this book?
Well, I think the aim of the research was not to deny the importance of focusing on drug use and getting the actual substance taken under control. I don't think that was ever the intention. But what we wanted to look at was what are the additional things that we could do above and beyond just focusing on drugs. And I think services have done a very good job in recent years in increasingly looking at housing, education, employment, providing help with money management, talking to people more about aspirations and self-esteem. Those sorts of things are now all done by services. But what is often missing is just those very nuts and bolts topics, sorting out your teeth, monitoring what you're eating, learning how to cook, your sleeping, getting your sleeping pattern back under control. Are you getting any physical activity? So I think services do an awful lot. And one of the things that our participants in the study said was just how much help they do get and how wide a diversity of support forms there are now available for them. But what is still lacking, not always, but often, is a focus on these nuts and bolt issues, which isn't to say many services don't pay attention to these things. We're talking in a generality here. But I think we could do more in that direction.
Is that kind of an impact that you'd like to see from this book?
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the important things is to put these issues into the public arena, to put them onto the agenda. We didn't so much ask what could be done by services to improve the situation, but that's the next step, really. It's about, now we've highlighted and confirmed that these issues are important, and we've looked at many of the ways in which they're important, I think it'd be very useful to have some feedback from service users and probably from service providers as well, to indicate what's the best way forward so we don't miss this.
I think that the way you chose to present the findings as well is going to have a big effect on how it's used also. I mean, why did you choose to present it in that way?
Yeah, I think it's very important that much academic research gets just cycled back to academics. So, and we've done that with the study. We've produced academic papers and we've presented at academic conferences. But with the best one in the world, those academic conferences and papers often aren't read by the people who can change lives. So I think it's very important to put your findings back to communities in an accessible way, because that's where the change is most likely to happen on the ground.
Absolutely. I know that in my role as a recovery community organiser, it's going to be on my shelf all the time. So thank you very much, Professor Joanne Neal.
Thanks very much.